Hello and welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness taking place in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in.
Today, I have the awesome opportunity to talk with Dr. Troy Miller, who is the superintendent for the School District of New Richmond in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Thanks for being with me today, Troy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And so today, we are going to talk about some stuff that's near and dear to Troy's work and heart, and that is around ultimately student achievement, but really about how you implement things to get there through, I would say, a non-conventional way. And so I don't know if you can share a little bit more about that, but I figured I'd set you up so that you can explain exactly what it is you're talking about today.
Yeah, I'm excited to just share some things. I've been in education a long time, and I've been fortunate to work with so many great leaders over my career that have really influenced me. And so today I thought I would just share something pretty passionate about, and it's really just clarifying our purpose and our role as educational leaders, and just and that is around student growth and what I call student growth culture, because it is some of the things that I've studied over time that seems to be missing as we get so hung up in other priorities and everything that we're trying to accomplish as educational leaders and so on. So that's a little bit what I want to share my experience around, and how trying to create structures and systems around everything that we're trying to do is to increase student growth and focus in on every student every day, and how we move our entire system forward along those lines.
So when we talk about that student growth culture, what is the starting point for superintendents? What's the starting point for leaders from your perspective, if this is an area that they want to get into? Where do you start the student growth culture?
Yeah, so this idea is, in many cases, I would say unique, because a lot of people want to talk about school culture. And when you talk about school culture, it's quite different than what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because culture can be work environment, contracts, all these different things. So when I talk about student growth culture, it's truly looking at, you know, moving kids at all levels forward at high levels, having those high expectations. So where it all begins, you can't come in and just say, hey, our fundamental purpose is student growth, and we're taking kids where they're at, and we're going to accelerate their learning. It really begins at my level as a superintendent, working with the board around what are we about? What does our strategic plan say our priorities are? So I've been fortunate to lead the process around numerous strategic plan initiatives. So it does begin with ensuring that everyone thinks what I think is important and what we're trying to accomplish. And in my current role, what was great is that I had a sense of urgency. We were one of the lowest performing school districts in the area. So coming in, we used to be first, and we were kind of worst with some of the comparable districts, and that's using the state assessment in Wisconsin, the state report card. So I had what it was called, I believe, just a gift around what are we really about? Do we care about those things? Do we care about not being the highest performing school in the area or school district in the area?
That is a perfect springboard, because, you know, what we talk about a lot on this podcast is really the implementation of. And so if you are trying to do that with your school board, and then I would say probably closely next is the leaders in your district, what does it look like to implement that movement?
Yeah, so it's a whole process. And I think some of the key factors are really looking at the data and looking at current reality. And, you know, we've had this training on frameworks, and So trying to put some systems around ways to look at guiding change, and having some focus statements around the work, and then really digging into what our current reality is. So taking a look, I pulled in a lot of data points. Obviously, there's state data, but really looking at local data, the common formative assessments, and we're really seeing a lot of evidence around just lack of growth and lack of, just a lot of things that were contributing, I felt, to not getting the movement that we were hoping for. With that, obviously, talking to the community, student voice was a big thing. I held sessions around listening to our kids. We had student survey data. We had a variety of data points. We looked at behavior data, you name it, just a ton of data, and looked at those themes and trends around, you know, what is actually happening, what's preventing us from being a higher performing district, and is that even a priority? So really trying to get that buy-in and trying to say, hey, here's the data. You tell me what do we think about it? Do we care about that? And then, like you said, really pulling in my cabinet or my directors and our principals around the information and where we're headed. So really, really trying to empower and to create a sense of urgency and some followership around the work.
Do you have any examples of kind of the pre-work that goes into that? You know, you and I both know as you sit there, you try to find ways to, one, eliminate as much resistance to something when you're doing big moves like this. And at the same time, really try to help people understand the rationale behind the changes you want to make. And are you able to talk about any of kind of the pre-work that goes into meeting with those leaders, meeting with your board, so that when you get into the room with them and you're actually talking about the data, there isn't the blank stare, there isn't such a feeling of drinking from a fire hose?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's things that you do. And for me, it was just one of my models is I'm in schools as much as possible. So just being in the grind, in the conversations, you got to be out and about. You got to be in the game as you're a leader and listening, doing a lot of listening. So strategies around listening groups, listening sessions, getting in there, digging into the data, trying to really peel the onion back, and then just trying to see. For me, in this current role, there was a lot of I didn't know that, and wow, that's surprising, and wow, we were top performing. Wow, no one's ever, talked about this before, looked at this information. So I think that is bringing light to that, building those relationships so people know you're not out to get them. You're not saying, hey, this is terrible, or it was really presenting information and getting and having some real, like you said, planning behind the scenes, having high structure in the conversation, having protocols that help you really have people think through, what they're seeing, what they're feeling, what they're hearing, and then really getting at, what does this mean to you, and what do we want to do about it, if anything? And usually you have the people that are in here for the right reasons and want to do better and want to, provide the best opportunities for kids. So it's really doing a lot of listening, getting out there, and then establishing those structures and systems to get that done. I use a lot of different frameworks from some of my training. Like I said, I try to position and empower folks along those, various task force that we kind of tried to form and trying to learn and study. Even just bringing in old research and information on effective schools and the things that other school districts are doing. I think some of the big data points were just comparing ourselves and looking at surrounding areas and things that other schools and districts were doing. That really had people reflecting on our practices and what we're doing or not doing.
So I think then what comes to my mind is along that way, you've probably established goals and benchmarks of where you want to end up in a timeline around that. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like, how you get people to come to agreement on here's truly where we want to be in X amount of time. Here's what that we think that's going to look like. And then how you set up the check-ins for that, for how you're doing along the way.
Yeah, and I think it depends on your board. So I'm fortunate to have a board that was, I believe, hired me to go in and create change. They wanted to move things forward. And for me, their timeline was as quickly as you can. Kids can't wait. So for me, there was this sense of urgency, but then it was trying to look at realistic timelines around. So I kind of tried to backwards design, what does this look like? And as we dug into some things, my first 6 months and just getting to know, build relationships, be visible, really validate the great things happening. It was also looking at, so how do we get better? And frame it in a way that people can latch on to, from good to great, great to excellent, and then putting some timelines around it. And so we did map out, and it was one of the charges which helped me from the school district, school board, was to look at a new strategic plan. And then knowing that that's going to take about 6 to 8 months to do it well. And I was fortunate that we had a consultant kind of helping, even though I did most of the work, but it was still nice to have someone, you know, coming from the unbiased lens as we kind of pulled things together. But I did a lot of getting out in the community. I think I had 30 community events scheduled with people, and, you know, what are the things that we love around here? How do we strengthen? What are some of the histories that the history and the traditions that we want to hold on to, but what are some opportunities for us to get better? And so it was just putting together then this strategic plan. And for me, it also triggered some other things with the referendum and so on, but more so focused in on, you know, what are we about? And I really started planting these ideas and bringing in articles around student growth culture, and how, you know, so I think as leaders, you start planting ideas, you start getting some information to some of your go-getters, get them excited, and then kind of putting together some timeline. So year one, it was really the relationship building, mapping out and beginning a process around a new strategic plan. And getting some parameters set up with the board and how that they wanted that to look, and some of my ideas around how it could be more actionable and help us drive decisions. And then from there on, using that to leverage everything we do within that, what are our core values and beliefs. And one thing I forgot to mention that's really important around this process is I just say to folks, if I were to go around and ask your staff, what are you about here? Just for example, the high school, what am I going to hear? So if I ask 10 different people, what are you about here in this high school? Am I going to get 10 different answers, or am I going to get similar, one or two, you know, similar kinds of answers? And I knew being out and about that I was going to get 10 different. And it was great doing these activities throughout the district, because it was all these things, arrows going in every different direction, and we're about this, we're about that. No, I don't know what we're about. And it really helped us to, again, around change, going, yeah, let's align these priorities. What do we want to be about? What do we want to be known for? What are some of those deliverables that we want for our kids when they go through our system and our families? So it was another strategy I think was super powerful and helpful. It's just simple questions. And it was exactly what I thought. It was all over the board. And then really trying to bring some of the evidence forward. And it was similar with our students. It was same thing. What's your experience here? So that really helped us to drive some of those changes. And then furthermore asking, well, what do we want to be about? Kids, what kind of experiences do you want? Families, what kind of experience do you want for kids? So that was really helping along the student growth culture ideas, really accelerating kids, having opportunities, and everything that we're trying to do is to move achievement and move the dial on student growth.
The part that now comes to mind is things we talked about, that whole flow is back to leaders in your district, right? So superintendents are really in a position to work in leading and developing their leaders to get your buildings, to get your staff, to get your students where you want to go. Can you speak to anything that you have found important in terms of leadership development for your leaders along this journey?
Yeah, to me, it's critical. And my current district, it has not been a value or priority. My previous district, it was so important. So you got to keep learning to keep leading. So the PD, so the redesign that we did here was, you know, we have weekly admin meetings and they were very management focused. And we shifted those to learning meetings. And then we mapped out, you know, what I call Leadership Academy, summer training, coaching. We looked at all of those things and really valued that we want to keep learning to keep leading our district and going down this path, because a lot of times people don't know what they don't know. And until they have the training and development and experiences around those things, it's just really hard to move the dial on anything, because people get set in their ways. They think they're doing everything that they know and they're looking at various results and different things. So I think having a plan and supporting leaders with professional development. We are fortunate to have what are called professional learning days in our school district, and there's a variety of ways that you can bring learning in. These days with sub shortages and whatnot, you got to get creative. You got to be learning throughout the day and each day, and trying to have that mindset. And one of the biggest shifts with the student growth culture is really, you know, that mindset of what did I learn from my kids today? What am I going to do differently? And everything is around the leader and that structure that you're designing, because we're organized to get the results we get mentality. So we're really trying to bring in and reflecting on our practices, our leadership, and how we get to a place that, you know, we're getting the results and meeting the needs of all of our kids.
Do you have any examples that you can think of now that you've been doing this, major shifts in your organization, major things that now when you walk, you had mentioned you walk in the building and you get 10 different versions of why I'm here, why I do what I do, or what we're about. Is there anything that you're able to see now that's different as you walk through buildings?
Yeah. So a couple of the, you know, so many different strategies, you know, just trying to think of everything we've done, but we structured, and I, you know, we're a professional learning community school district. And so we have what's called our building guiding coalition and district guiding coalition. So basically our building leadership teams, district leadership teams. So really leveraging our teacher leaders and empowering them was a major part of this process. So now seeing how all of that, people are like, what are we doing? And district leaders, and we meet monthly. And again, I have purpose statements. We crafted everything, built it as we were flying it. But the purpose of these school leaders is all around student growth and how we're trying to move things forward. So what's really cool now is seeing these leadership teams in action, everything focused on student growth, looking at data, having those celebrations, look at our collaborative teamwork, our common assessments, all those celebrations. So it's really cool to see this work in action. This district guiding coalition really spent the year putting together what's called our student growth culture survey, which my understanding and my research, no other district in the country is doing it. So we were wondering, how do you measure student growth culture? Or it started with school culture, but really zeroing in on it. So we have, I had some great teacher leaders, and over the course of the year, we really were looking at developing a tool to help us. So in the fall, we take the student growth culture survey as a staff, and it's based off of, you know, rubrics and information, and really trying to be as much evidence-based as possible. And then we do learning activities throughout the year, and then we take the assessment fall and spring and look at our growth and look at our impact there. But it was great having this district guiding coalition kind of frame this throughout the year, continuing to learn. We did a lot through Solution Tree and videos, and we really got some things in a frame, and then we turned it over to four teacher leaders, and they took this and they really went to town. So I love just seeing your question is just empowering teachers, getting people excited, looking at ways to enhance our work and how we're trying to meet the needs of all kids. And they also then tied everything back and making connections around what we call our district priorities. So connections, and we have what's called three of our cornerstones. And everything we're trying to do is to work smart. And through the student growth culture, the survey is connecting with our work around PBIS, PLCs, our established practices. And then what we call our foundational work is that student growth culture. One domain I can just share, I just have the survey in front, again, as our teachers created, is that, you know, the belief system that all students can learn. Teachers believe all students can learn at high levels. Teachers believe that is their responsibility to ensure students grow and learn. And then we have the rubrics around, measuring those things and having evidence around it. So really getting at that belief system, and then also looking at those actions, the results, and the things that we think are really important to leverage learning. So seeing that in action, people excited around it, looking at PD. There's some book studies being done. There's doing a lot of video clips and stuff to move things forward. It's just been really exciting to see.
That's fantastic. So last question for you is, if I were a new superintendent or I was a colleague of yours and said, hey, Troy, I really want to start digging in to this thing you've got going on of student growth culture, what would be the one, two, or three things that you would say, all right, if that's what you want to do, here's how you need to go about it? What would be the couple, two, three things you'd give as advice to people around this?
Yeah, I think they're, I kind of had mentioned it, but you had mentioned it too, is how do you get people excited about this idea? Because again, we really had to really have conversations around, is it our fundamental purpose? And being a PLC school district, Rick and Becky Dufour, the work of Rick Dufour and all the folks there was right, constantly stated that the fundamental purpose of schools is student growth, student learning. And so you would need to start there. Is that truly what you believe, your board believes? For me, I want us to be the best school district in the nation with high performance. If kids are above the standard, below, and everything in between, how are we moving in and ensuring that they're getting the best education possible? So it has to start with this passion and then getting people excited about it. I feel like, those leadership teams are everything. And you need to have, those structures and systems in place, but yet, more importantly, you need the people work and the people power behind it. So for me now, it's people are so passionate about this and using language that I don't even use. And so I love, seeing that energy. So I think it's empowering and getting some of your leaders excited and then getting it down to that teacher level and building some structures and systems around your leadership teams to dig in. And of course, then everything we do is we start with, and all of our communication is we simplified, our strategic plan does say every student every day. And we really try to live that and talk about that a lot in the process. So you would need to have a strategic plan that aligns to your vision. And again, similar at a school level, right? You have to begin with your mission vision and your core beliefs and values before you go any further. So it has to begin there before you try to go any further, because you have to get everyone on board. And sometimes it might take longer than other times, but it's those experiences. It might be school visits. It might be a lot of learning and get some people passionate about it in order for you to even think about moving this idea forward.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here with me today and talking about student growth culture. For those listening, again, this has been Dr. Troy Millen, who is the superintendent of the school district of New Richmond in New Richmond, Wisconsin. And he has been sharing with us how he has implemented and gone through the process of aligning his strategic plan, mission, vision with the students and the student growth culture that takes place in the classroom. So thank you, Troy, for being with me today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.